Today we're going to hopefully finish up the fruit of the Spirit. At the end of this section in your notes on the fruit of the Spirit, I've given you a little thing that I think is really fun to see.
Yeah.
Because I say to you about 3-4 paragraphs up in the bottom, it should be observed that the fruit of the Spirit is opposed to the works of the flesh. And you can line them up.
Yeah.
Love is opposed to hatred, joy is opposed to emulations and envying, peace, to varying strife and seditions, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and meekness, and wrath are contrary to wrath, to murders, to idolatry, witchcraft, and heresies, and temperances in opposition to fornication, uncleanness. So that tells me then that if the fruit of the Spirit is operative, the works of the flesh shouldn't be.
Yes.
That then gives me something of a litmus test, does it not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can do some evaluation. Isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
It is.
When you work hard and you turn in your exam, if it comes back with no grade on it, you are kind of disappointed. You expected an A or a B, and there's no grade at all. You'd like to have an evaluation. You operate under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Yes. So
I can't evaluate you and be wrong. I can evaluate what I know about you, and I can evaluate, you know, whether or not you and I can be birds of a feather and work together. But actually, you don't operate under my headship. You operate under His. Then the business of evaluation gets tricky. We can make it totally subjective, where whatever we do is right. That's what I tend to do. I don't know how that's working out for you. It's not working out that great for me. I need better. And what this provides is the better. This provides something more objective. Now, we've gotten down to gentleness, and apparently the commentators all went to the same school, because they all say that gentleness means to be affable. And affability has to do with something different from what the verse is actually about. So the ability to be affable, get along. People say, well, he never met a stranger. That's an affable person. That's somebody that doesn't say, hi, how are you? They're already talking to you about NASCAR or their boat or something. You know, they're just right in it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Very affable people. Affable, when I look it up in my many, many books of etymology, has to do with telling stories. It's fables. It's like being the court jester. Or better than the court jester, it would be the minstrel.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be affable. And he'd be going down the road with his funny hat, singing songs about the king and telling stories. That would be, to my mind, a better definition of affability. So I don't think that's it at all. I think that, and I see in 2 Samuel chapter 22, in verse 36, thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation. Now that's armament.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a minstrel. And thy gentleness hath made me great. So, he's gentle to, he's protective of me with a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm given position because of his protection. Gentleness, then, isn't just telling stories and singing songs when I read it in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 36. In Psalm 18, in verse 35, thou hast given me a shield of thy salvation, the right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. How can I be great when the one holding me up is God? Because he allows me to be part of his greatness and his great position, and he's protected me and put me in place. So I'm getting a whole different spin on gentleness.
Yes.
When I read other Bible verses, than when I read the commentaries who make it all to be... It's amazing how so many of them come up with the same exact thing.
Yeah.
They read each other and pass it on. And affable being that then. When I think about gentleness, people invariably think that the Old Testament God is a meanie. But Jesus, he's gentle.
Yeah.
Which of course means they've not read Matthew chapter 23. and they've not read John chapter 6.
Yes.
They've not seen somebody say, you are of your child the devil. Now, I watched Art Linkletter with kids say the darndest things, and those cute little munchkins would be there on the stage, and Art Linkletter never walked up to them and said, hi, Billy, you are of your father the devil. He would have had no TV career at all. Done.
Right.
Ye are of your father the devil is not how you talk when you graduated Carnegie School and how to win people and how to influence people. So, Jesus was quite brash, harsh, confrontational. Take the word you're comfortable with. In Matthew chapter 23, John chapter, there's many other places as well. Now, gentleness in providing for people and helping people and giving them position is what I see the word in 2 Samuel and Psalms is different from being affable. Being the, you enter the beauty contest and you're ugly as a mud fence. But you were Miss Congeniality.
Mm-hmm.
You were affable, you know. And so, there you've got affability, and I don't think that's what we're looking at all. We need to operate with something of a sliding scale in mind with our approach to people. And sometimes I do better at that than other times. But if I got myself a wizened old war horse who's been at it, I mean, he is a J.W. Elder.
Okay.
I'm not going to cut him a whole lot of slack.
No.
I'm going to deal with him very forcefully, very forthrightly. I'm going to work on the premise that this man has hurt legions of people.
Yes.
With bad doctrine.
Yes.
Now, over here, I've got me somebody that says, well, I'm trying to learn my Bible. I don't know it so good too much so far. But I've got these nice people come over to the house on Friday nights,
mm-hmm.
and they teach me some Bible. They call themselves witnesses. Knows nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not going to take the same stick I took to the war horse and hit this person with it. I'm going to be much more gentle. So I need to recognize where people are.
Yes.
So that I'm dealing with them with the appropriate approach.
Yes.
I'm standing on a street in Xenia. Two guys I'm teaching how to go door to door, they go. I stay on the street. They go up, knock on the door. I'm standing on the street, guy walking down the street. He is a J.W. Elder.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks up to me and says, what you guys doing? We're the only ones that go door to door. He wasn't totally wrong, was he?
Not by much.
And I told him what we were doing, and he said, you people are idiots. You don't even know enough Bible to talk to anybody. You actually think Jesus was born in December, and you're to celebrate that and put up a stupid tree in your house. I mean, he was on me.
Yep.
And I said, well, you foolish old man. My wife teaches 8-year-olds that Christ was born in late September, and you honor his death and not his birth. What kind of people are you talking about? I'm talking about men that are up at the door there with the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And you don't even know Christ was God, although I can show you that in your Bible.
Uh-huh.
Now, that was on the sidewalk
mm-hmm.
in a city street in Virginia.
Yes.
And I'm in his face.
Yes.
And I can show him Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 in his Bible, which says, of thy throne, it is said, thy throne, O God. Speaking of Christ.
Yes.
So I'm on him. Mm-hmm. Didn't take nothing. No slack in your face.
Yes.
Shut up, idiot.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm in a house in Zenia. Where, I suppose, should I pray? Should I pray and ask Jesus into my heart? No, you need to understand. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You know, of course, you all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, I know that. And you know that Christ died for your sins. Oh, yeah, I know that. And you know that Christ was God in the flesh. Oh, no, he wasn't. This guy had been talking to her. Metaphorically, I don't know if it was exactly the same guy who knew over with the end that got married.
Yes.
Now she had shoes on and stuff, but she wasn't, you know, she was not real country. And not really whatever you say goes, kind of.
Yeah.
So I needed to have her understand Christ was God.
Yes.
Because there's no point having her trust the payment of somebody that can't pay the price.
That's right.
She needed to understand the deity of Christ. So it's time to sit down and go over the deity of Christ issues. It's a whole different approach.
Yes.
Wrong doctrine. But the approach was entirely different.
Yes.
Now, sometimes, when I teach evangelism in Dispensational Bible Institute, I profile people. Not about being politically incorrect. But if I know where they're coming from, then I know where they're going, and I can steer them in a different direction by knowing which Bible verses to go to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't waste my time with Roman Catholic verses on her.
No.
She's already been taught the Roman Catholics are Mark of the Beast. I don't have to waste my time with any of that. I don't have to worry about Mary, Peter, none of that.
No. That's right.
I got other issues with her. Mm-hmm. So I can hone right in on her. Sometimes when I do my profiling, they're here and I'm here. And I miss sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not an exact science, but that gentleness, for me, is on a sliding scale.
Yes.
He needs to be glad I didn't pound into the sidewalk in the spirit of Peter Cartwright, which I love what he did. But the sense has to do with being gentlemanly, genteel. I say this, do the best you can to always keep it doctrinal.
Yes.
It's not that your mother wears combat boots. I really don't care what kind of shoes she wears. It's not personal.
Right.
Okay. The next word is goodness. Goodness comes from godness, godlikeness, godliness. So the word good is in my Bible in 655 verses. I can't do for you what I did with gentleness then. Unless we're going to have lunch.
Yes.
And spend the rest of the day. But in my immediate context, I have good used by Paul in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18, that it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. So I got good. What's a good thing? I can figure that out.
Yeah.
Because I know God's got purposes for the body of Christ. I didn't used to know that. Now I know that. According to his purpose. Then I can figure out what his purpose is to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Is to glorify his son. Wow. So when I learn what his purposes are, I can be zealous about that. It's not bad to be zealous. It's to be zealous in a good thing. sometimes people get zealous and it's just silly. Wearing a block of cheese on your head is just kind of silly. And I understand there's not a lot to do in Milwaukee. Not a lot to do in Green Bay. In fact, not a lot to do in Wisconsin. Dairy cows outpopulate people. And so, some of the most interesting things I've ever heard, I heard in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was seated at a table with my wife, eavesdropping, I admit it, to the people at the next table who were a pastor and his wife and another couple, explaining that when you see a 40-footer that says Walmart on it, they got ladybugs from China, and those trucks are full of ladybugs.
Yes.
Which are here to destroy our crops.
Yes.
Now, if you like conspiracy theories, move to Wisconsin. I mean, you got time to think about them. You got time to, what do dairy cows do? You got time to ruminate. Ruminates cut chewing. And you herp it up and then you chew it again. That's ruminating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what that word means.
Yep.
I love that word, though. You swallow something and it didn't go down just right, so you ruminate on it and chew it up again and see if it goes down better the next time. So, the opportunity to be zealous in a good thing encourages me, because I was zealous for the almighty buck, zealous in a lot of bad things, a lot of foolish things, and it's nice to be zealous in a good thing.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth him all good things. So there's good things in my Bible to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Would it all be good? Not the same way. Mm-hmm. Not enough to be biblical. Not enough to be scriptural. You have to write me to mind.
Yes.
If I ask you to bet your soul on Matthew 5, I'm wrong. If I ask you to bet your soul in Matthew 16, I'm wrong. If I ask you to bet your soul in Acts 2, I'm wrong. If I ask you to bet your soul in Exodus 19 and 20, I'm wrong. It's all Bible.
Yeah.
But it's not good that you learn somebody else's doctrine and attempt to apply it when it's not yours.
Right.
So it's good to be zealous in a good thing. Mm-hmm. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's being zealous in a good thing.
Yes.
You see what the guy's got to do? Paul has to figure out what's not there.
Yes.
That's hard. You realize if there are, let's say, how many doctrines that we learn as members of the body of Christ? Let's just say 7 or 8 key, most important doctrines. Substitutionary atonement, propitiatory sacrifice, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the efficacy of his blood, his word being true. If there's just that many, and you walk up to somebody, you got to know which one's missing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have to be discerning of all of them. And pick up from what a person who doesn't know something's missing says to be able to say, oh, I see you got a problem here.
Yes.
And then you're zealous of good things enough to fill up that which is lacking. I don't know how effective you are. I don't know how effective I am. But if you listen to the radio broadcast, I kind of do that all the time. I'm trying to hit them alongside the head with one of these things about which I can be pretty sure they're lacking.
Yes.
And I come to them with zeal about it and do that in personal conversations as well. When Sister Carol was listening to a man talk, he takes kids to a Christian school. He's a bus driver. He's a sweet guy.
Oh, yes.
Carol's listening to him talk, and she's thinking, I hope he's saved. Because he will consistently put something out that makes it sound as if I got to be a better person than I am. And that's just scared half to death. It's like the little old lady Carol told you about 3 months ago in the nursing home, who week after week would say, well, I just not good enough. I just do wrong things. And finally one day she got it. I think it was Arnett that got through to her,
yes,
that Christ had done everything, and we came back the next week and she was dead already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that was a brand plucked out of the burning.
Amen.
So it's good to be zealous of a good thing. You don't need me to tell you good's the opposite of bad. And you don't need me to tell you tear-jerking stories about somebody who was bad who got to be good. I get a little concerned. There was a pastor, a preacher, he wasn't a pastor, he was an evangelist one time. He had murdered somebody and was put in prison and did his prison, it was 25 to life. He did like 17 or so and got out. He apparently had gotten saved during the course of his time in prison. Now he's preaching. But his preaching, if you listen to his message, it's 90% what I did as a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then we'll put a little gospel frosting on it here at the end. And I listened to him and I thought, this is what Willie Nelson does. He sings all these songs about, I wonder whose bed your shoes will be under tonight, and now let's close with Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
It's just kind of too much of this and not enough of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know about this part.
No.
I don't want to compare mine with yours. I don't want to know. I don't need to hear the dirty, seamy underside of life. Been there.
Yeah.
I want to know the new man, the new creature.
Amen.
I want to know about the goodness. So rather than being treated like a third grader that needs to be emotionally wrangled,
yeah,
I'm going to be zealous about the doctrines.
Yes.
And so I think that that's sound, because our lack of zeal about right doctrine, I'm going to say, is sinful behavior for us.
Yes.
And we weren't saved to consume products and wave our hands at the light bulbs and say, bless you, Jesus. We were saved to see souls saved and see saints edified.
That's right.
Now, faith is listed as an element of the fruit of the Spirit, which confirms some things we already knew about faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And of course, the Spirit put the word in place.
Yeah.
When we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, we're sealed with the Spirit of promise and we're saved by grace through faith. What we're looking at then, when Paul speaks of faith as he's talking to the Galatians, never forget who he's talking to. He's talking to people who are going away from faith only, back to a legal covenant system, a performance system. So Paul, in Acts 14, where the Galatians are mentioned, could have spoken to them about this. And no question, he's going back over material that he had dealt with them previously. So, raising the faith issue, you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because people will tell you, yes, my faith is in Jesus. He died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the period is.
Yes.
They got a cola.
Right.
And I got baptized, and I'm living it, and I'm enduring to the end, and I'm tithing.
Yep.
So then, what went before the colon becomes contingent upon what comes after the colon.
You're right.
Yes.
One of the best presentations of Christ having died for our sins that I've ever read in literature put out by a denomination was in a Seventh-day Adventist piece of literature when I was, Dan Sensabaugh was living there, and I was riding the pine waiting for his operation to be over, and I'm reading the Seventh-day Adventist material, and I'm telling you, it was excellent.
Yeah.
Didn't turn back.
Yeah.
And we know, of course, that we are saved because we don't go to church on Sunday, we go on Saturday.
Yeah.
We keep the laws.
Yeah.
So everything that was said before the colon became contingent upon the performance after. Mm-hmm. Law keeping and all of that kind of business.
Yeah.
The issue of faith, Paul says to Timothy, my son, in the faith. There's a body of data which constitutes the faith of Christ, the faith by which we are saved. And that's the issue of faith. The Galatian people, remember, Paul's not talking in a vacuum here.
No.
And it's not that the fruit of the Spirit would change if he were talking to other people. But the fact is, he's dealing with people who are moving away from faith.
Yes.
So for them, there would need to be some emphasis. Meekness makes you think of Barney Fife, of shrinking violets, of wallflowers, of people that are shy, reserved, even cowardly.
Yeah.
Actually, Christ is said to have been meek, and he's got all the power of the universe.
That's right.
In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Well, he's meek and lowly of heart, but guess what? The people who follow him as their Messiah, they get heaven. People that reject him and crucify him, they get tossed into the burner. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. So, meekness is going to have more to do with power under control.
Yeah.
Another person in your Bible that is said to be meek is a fellow who wasn't, in the sense that we take meek to be, and that's Moses.
Right.
In Numbers in chapter 12, now the man Moses was very meek. He had the law given to him. He had the power. He confronted Pharaoh. He berated Israel over and again. He destroyed the golden calf. He was in Korah's face. This is not a man cowardly.
No.
This is not a shrinking, shy, violet, a wallflower. He spoke God's condemnation to the whole nation, and they wandered around for 40 years.
Yeah.
By the way, he led them for 40 years.
Yes, he did.
So, meek is like gay. Gay is a new word now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean what it is.
That's right.
I wonder what people do. They're going to put an end to Christmas. I mean, it's awful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because Santa can't say ho.
Right.
I mean, that's out. So, you got to get rid of that. And now this. Well, it's just trouble after trouble after trouble. Sword Lord magazine, by the way, this week has a front page article about how the Heritage Foundation and a couple other groups are putting out lawsuits and fighting mainstream media and libraries. There's different certain organizations. They're suing them because they're attacking having Christmas trees and celebrating Christmas in certain public places. And I'm thinking to myself, there it is. There's some well-meaning church-going people trying to fight reality with a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've got reality with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But not December the 25th.
No.
Not with a bail push.
No.
So, we're going to spend money. People are going to pray. People are going to fight. People are going to get angry. People are going to vote certain ways to impose a lie on the system as if it were Christianity.
Yeah.
And then wonder why they're looked at as being knuckleheads.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. good night. Wake up. It's Christ and Him crucified.
Yes.
Not a stupid tree when He wasn't born, based on a book that says, remember His death. Mm-hmm. We got the Heritage Foundation. I have to get some guitars, but there's several. And the real lawsuits in real towns,
yeah,
with real people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the idiots.
Yeah.
Pick your fights.
Yes.
Know what you're doing. People actually think the wise men were there. I suppose now they got the little rumor boy in there.
Why not?
Carol has felt for the longest time that there's going to be Santa sitting on a throne, and his gift to the world is going to be baby Jesus sitting on Santa's lap.
Yeah. Santa's
I think he can sell a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a weird head. She thinks of funny things, right? But it would work.
It would
probably sell millions.
Oh, yeah.
Sell better than hula hoops and pet rocks. Meekness. Temperance. I love this. Temperance, by the way, in the new translations is translated self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's self, how can it be the spirit? I read these kinds of things, and it reminded me of my experience this year up at the Billy Sunday home. And the girl had never heard of Billy Sunday, and she said that, you probably never heard of Fergie. I'm thinking, Fergie, Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday changed the country for 13 years in its laws. Billy Sunday had his sermons on the front page of the New York Times. Billy Sunday shook hands with 4 million converts. Billy Sunday invented the Sawdust Trail. Billy Sunday invented the Tent Chautauqua meetings. Billy Sunday, with Homer Rhoda Haver, was as well known as presidents and kings.
Mm-hmm.
Fergie. Well, she's going to sing the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that even is enough.
I guess.
Oh. I just stood there kind of nonplussed. She is equating one of the most significant people in the first half of the 20th century with some drughead rock and roll bimbo.
Yeah.
Self-control spirit. Self-control spirit. It can't be. Now, the Bible helps me here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. That they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So the idea of temperance, the idea of being moderate, the idea of being rather than tossed about by the flesh and carnality of the world system, the idea of setting my affections somewhere else, I'm learning is spirit driven. It's going to be doctrinal driven. It's not going to be driven by self. I'll promise you, yourself won't take you where you need to go. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that the aged man be sober, brave, temperate, sound in the faith, charity, and patience. Well, we have to be, because we can't get up and do anything in a hurry anyhow. There you go. Now, I gave you the next section there, which might have been in a different color when you printed it out, that the nine fruit of the Spirit decimate the 17 works of the flesh if we let them. So if I've got some of the aspects of the works of the flesh operating, could I say them, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, I've quenched the Spirit in that regard? Maybe so. It's just, I think, helpful to think in those terms. I think it's helpful to do evaluation. And one of the things that I found to be one of the hardest parts, and still do, in preaching and teaching, is the self-recrimination, the second-guessing, the wake up at the 2 o'clock in the morning and you say, why couldn't I have said it if that worked right away? Mm-hmm. You see that illustrated when Oh, comedians. They'll have a routine where somebody will say something awful to the other one. Dickie Smothers will say something awful to the other one, and Tommy Smothers will say, oh, yeah? Because he couldn't think of anything better. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Mother loved me best. Mother did not love you then. A day later, you think of what you should have said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Don't think that doesn't happen when you stand in the pulpit talking to people for 45 minutes or 2 hours. What you shouldn't have said, what you should have said. I said, did I give an example? I said a word that is perfectly acceptable in today's society.
I think I can draw one. And you use it to hold wooden objects together?
And I said I'd screw that.
No.
I shouldn't talk like that.
That's right.
Hmm? Yeah.
That's right.
What is that? A euphemism? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought, you know, Sarah Palin, you just shot yourself in the foot again with the WTF yesterday. Hmm? You make yourself sound like you don't have enough brains. So I said that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, there's no pulling out of the air ticket.
Yeah, no, can't do it.
It's there.
Now, that was probably 15 years ago. And I haven't said it since. Mm-hmm. Because it's a euphemism.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For a word I wouldn't use.
Right.
For an act that wasn't appropriate to the sentence. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, is that self-control? Obviously, self didn't get it done.
Right.
But the Bible drove the truth home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You used a carnal, nasty euphemism where there's ladies and gentlemen in the same room, and you're standing behind the Bible. Now, that is totally acceptable in modern society. I've heard 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds talk like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And use that expression. Not me. Never. You've never heard it from me because go back far enough. You've more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, you maybe 15.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe almost as much. You knew me before I knew you because you listened to the radio.
Right.
Before I knew that. These folks go back when I still pretty probably had a little hair left. I haven't had a lot for a long time.
Yeah, I was up to your church. I thought the Jehovah's Witnesses were still there.
So, that, for me, that was self-evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that now is expunged from my language. I'll say messed up.
Yeah, made a mess.
Goofed. But not that.
No.
See, you're hard to get along with.
Great.
You don't have to get along with.
Right.
I have to get along with him.
Amen. That's it.
So, that's why that bothers me.
Yeah.
And I owe him better than that.
Yes.
We'll stop there.
Amen.
Against such as a law. Oh. The next phrase there, against such as a law, I'm so tempted to go to Romans 13. I just don't know whether I should or not.